This morning, we move on in our scripture reading and a message to Psalm 5. As I prepare to read, let me ask for your consideration. Have you ever literally cried out to the Lord? Maybe it was in a time of great pain and agony, or a time of overwhelming burden with life's problems, being more than you could personally bear. Did the Lord answer and bring relief? Did you give him thanks and praise? Did you consider that an act of sacrifice and praise? I read Psalm 5, verses 1 to 12. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. This is God's inspired word to us from the heart of David in a time of great distress. The Lord delights in a broken heart, broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. He desires right sacrifices of the heart. It is our spiritual act of worship. Let us now prepare to hear this morning's message titled, Offering Right Sacrifices.
I hope that you remember last week's sermon. Actually, it was more out of the scriptures. I hope that you remember the word and the words about offering right sacrifices and then trusting in God. In Psalm chapter 4. In that psalm, it talked about offering a sacrifice, and then it says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. What's he talking about? He's talking about an evening sacrifice. He's talking about before he goes to bed, really. He is talking to the Lord, and he's offering right prayers and a right heart before the Lord. That was last week. This morning, we're going to talk about the morning sacrifice. In Leviticus, you'll find them. You'll find it talking about both of these, in particular now, the morning sacrifice. To the choir master for the flutes, a psalm of David. I know I may be getting a little annoying about talking about the headings of these psalms, but they're in the scriptures. And shouldn't we just kind of ask? It's good that Gary comes up here and gives us kind of a sense of at least the beginning of this psalm where there's a crying out and, Lord, do you hear me? And then David says, play a flute to that. Think about that. Number one, you wouldn't play a flute for that to that. Number two, you couldn't if you're crying, right? If you're crying, I don't think you're playing a flute. Maybe at some point during this psalm, the flute comes in because something changes. And then David says, add the flute because this is joyous. Wait a minute, we're talking about crying, aren't we? He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning, my musing. It's a quiet groaning. Like, this really is hurting me. I'm going through some very either emotional or physical or spiritual pain. Actually, when it's emotional and physical, it usually is spiritual, isn't it? Because it causes your spirit to be down and maybe a little depressed, and yet he wants you to sing a flute or play a flute or at least have flutes playing during this psalm. Doesn't make much sense. They say that the stringed instruments, which was added last week, if you remember right, stringed instruments are probably the oldest instrument, but flutes are close. Somebody put flutes at 43,000 years old. I don't think that's true. But they have some stringed instruments that they know existed 4,500 years ago, and yet they still think that the flute is the oldest instrument. Like somebody found a hollowed out branch and the wind going through it and it was making sound, and they picked it up and started working with it, and they started working with the legs of birds when they hollowed out, or the ivory. They started making these flutes. Germany was pretty famous for them. The modern flute comes from Germany. And that dates about the year 16 or 1700 A.D. And David is talking about flutes 1,000 years B.C. There's no historical evidence for this psalm. We don't really know why he is so caught up in his pain and his moaning and his groaning. But the one thing I know is we can't sing and play the flute at the same time. We can't cry and sing with the flute at the same time. What is David saying? Add flutes. Isn't it a joyous term? Does anybody remember Chuck Girard? Raise your hand if you remember Chuck Girard. He was a singer with Love Song. Anybody remember Love Song? Okay. So the Jesus movement right over there in the corner in the red shirt. You remember a little bit of the Jesus movement, the hippies in the West Coast? And the singers that came out of that? Chuck Girard was a big one. One of the first famous ones. And in 1977, he wrote this song, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Go look it up on YouTube today. Go look up Chuck Girard, Psalm 5, and sing it. Learn it. In fact, I think we're going to be singing it here. We'll bring back some of the 70s music. Because they're singing the scriptures. Give ear to my word, O Lord. But Chuck Girard has all piano. And it sounds so, it's beautiful, and I really like it. But at the beginning, David is, just like Gary said, he is groaning, and then he cries out. He says, give ear. Come aside and give me some time, Lord. Hear me because of my pain. Would you come aside with me and give me an ear? It's like, you know, you go to your CEO or your boss and you go, can I have your ear for a minute? Do you ever heard that term? Do you have his ear? That person has the president's ear. You've heard that before. Lord, give me your ear. The King of the and God of the universe? Lord, can I have your ear for a moment? He says, give attention to the sound of my cry. So he goes from the groaning, the silent groaning, to a cry. This word is a crying out for help. And he's talking, who's he talking to? My King and my God. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, where the King of the universe is going to give the King, if we've been following along in Psalms, Psalm 2 is the King, the Son. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. And you are going to groan and ask for the ear of the King and then cry out to him. It's because it's for you, I pray. It's to you only do I come for help. It's to you only that I cry. 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, then I urge you to make supplications and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving, all of those things to the Lord. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer, whether you're moaning or groaning or crying out, I need this, Lord, or I'm very thankful. I hope that you're still very thankful in 2020. You're going through this year very thankful. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we pray as we ought. Here's the really interesting thing of the church. The Spirit is going to help you pray. Well, what does that mean? We're going to talk about this a little more, but what it means is relationship. What it means is that it gives you the right. It gives you not just the right, like you have the right to go into the CEO's office, but that you have the relationship. You have the very close, intimate relationship with who you're talking to, with who you're requesting things from. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with, there's the word in Greek, groanings. You will groan and the Spirit will groan with you. Because sometimes the pain gets too deep, doesn't it? The pain gets too deep. And you don't know how to pray. And sometimes when things are not happening, remember we talked about brass ceilings. God is listening. But sometimes he's not moving like we thought he should move. You're not helping me. You're not making me feel a lot better. So the Spirit groans with you and for you. It says the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. There's no words for it. If you haven't ever went through this, young folks, it happens. And it happens and it happens. And then it says, Paul says, and he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is wonderful. Now, this does not mean that you just stop groaning and you stop being, you know, concerned for your well-being and that the Spirit is going to do it all. No. He lives with you and in you, and he groans with you and for you. And so we ask for his attention and we ask God to rise up, because I'm going to cry out. It's interesting, just as almost a side note, that it's to my King and my God. the Trinitarian issue comes into effect here. This triune God you have a relationship with, and you're going to find out that it's more, even more than that. To you I pray. America is in trouble now, partly because we've forgotten who to ask for help for. We have all that we need, and we don't prepare a sacrifice. Now, in your ESV here, the word sacrifice is introduced. It's not in the Hebrew. It is a word for, the word prepare there is. Prepare. In the morning, I'm going to prepare, and then I'm going to watch. That's what it says in the Greek. It doesn't make much sense, but the word there is found in Leviticus. It does mean that they prepare a sacrifice. You think about the sacrifice that they used to do, where they would bring the animals and they would cut them up and they would drain the blood and they would skin them and take certain parts to the priest and certain parts to the poor and all that bloody mess for everybody. They would prepare a sacrifice for you and you and you and you. It's the same term that you're going to muse and groan and think about these things, and you're going to say, what am I going to say to God? I'm going to write it out. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to give this to him. And when am I going to do it? I'm going to do it in the morning. I'm going to do it before I get out of bed or when I get out of bed. I'm going to prepare this for him so that he will know my groanings. It says twice there in the morning. I'm going to do it in the morning. Start your day with it. And then it says, I'm going to watch. We're going to talk about that more. It's a wonderful three verses. We would love to stop and end for the day on these three verses. They're wonderful. It's a great song. But David didn't stop there. And in fact, he goes on to something that we would just rather leave behind and not talk about. But I want to introduce you to that word there, the first word there, for. The word for there introduces the reason why David can do this. He's going to compare again the folks that either can dwell with God and don't dwell with God. In fact, this is really a messianic term verse. What I mean by that is really when we would pray this or think about this, we would rather not think about this part of it because it has to do with others and we don't want to judge them. We have asked for the Lord to come to him in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to prepare my sacrifice. I'm going to prepare my verse, my song to you, my prayer, my supplication to you. But David, through the Spirit, is going to give you the reason why you can do it. He's going to compare. Because God is saying, this is why I'm allowing you in. And if we are in this group, if we are a part of some of this stuff, we should take note and say, oh, I need to work on this because these are the people that don't have the right to prepare this sacrifice in the morning. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. Dwell. He's talking about evil people not being able to live with God. Because what right does fellowship have with darkness? It can't happen. And then there's a righteous God who has to judge these things. And he does. And he's judged them already. And yet he's judged you. And this allows you to prepare that sacrifice in the morning and groan to him. But you're not going to stay there. You're going to end up singing with the flutes. You're going to end up with a joyous heart. Because this is not you. The boastful shall not stand. Do you remember Psalm 1? The tree stands by the river because it is in God. It does not stand in the congregation of the righteous. The wicked don't. And so here they are again. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate evildoers. This set right here, this set of three verses would be banned in Canada. Because it's not politically correct. And we look at it and we say, I'd rather not pray this, Lord. I'd rather not hear this. I'd rather the preacher skip these three verses. Well, I'm not doing my job, because David wrote them by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, Lord, we understand that you hate evildoers. We don't use that term, do we? We don't hate anybody. And yet the Lord hates evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. I don't want to hear anymore. It hurts. We don't go around saying this, and we don't need to. Sometimes it may come up in a conversation. You may have to point this out, but what is this for? This is to understand the depth of evil, the issue of the evil and the righteous God, and where he stands for it. And when we understand that, then we can make a decision. That's not that. I don't want that. We want this. But you see the for, because, and the but, the contrast. This is the you and I. This is David. He says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. Will enter your house? We're gonna go into where he is. David goes in. He's not talking about the temple. He does in some aspect, but that's not really what he's talking about. He couldn't have been, because that would leave us out. We're not talking about the temple, because God even said that I don't dwell in a temple made of hands. Where does he dwell? Where is his house? Well, he dwells in heaven, but the Spirit dwells in you. So you lie quietly in the Spirit, and that's why the Spirit moans and groans and prays for you, because he is in you and with you. But I, the abundance, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. I will bow down toward your temple. Do you know that when the Jews, and even Muslims, when they're away, they turned toward Mecca, you know. Well, when the Jews were away from Jerusalem and they prayed, they had to pray toward Jerusalem. Whether, you know, they had to find the closest, you know, whether you're east or west, they would find the closest, you know, proximity of Jerusalem. And, okay, I think it's about there. In fact, you can go to many synagogues. They used to center their front door to the east. He says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. There's the contrast. Make your way straight before me. He's going to ask that the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will make my way straight. Remember when Joshua was entering the land and he said, the Lord told him, don't go to the left or the right. Go straight. What is your word? That's, again, why we're in the Bible. That's why I started Psalm 1. Was I want to know your ways. I want to know who you are. I want to be able to walk in your ways that I please you. Because things are getting rough, yes. But I want to know you. I want to be able to dwell with you and in you. And you in me. And then we have another four. You see the contrast? Four, but, four, another four. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an empty grave or an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. Now, again, I don't think ever pray that. This is a messianic prayer. This is David praying like Jesus the Son would say to his Father, you got to cast them out because they can't live here. And all you and I have to know is they are going to be cast out. But let me suggest something. I was doing my own personal reading again, and I started in 1 Corinthians. It's supposed to be a very basic book. And I said, well, maybe I just need to get back to the basics again a little bit. And I started in 1 Corinthians, and I got through 1 and 2, and wonderful. Okay, we're in the Lord, your brother's in the Lord, and the church is in the Lord. And then 3 and 4, we got some problems. And 4 and 5, we got some real problems. And Paul says to the church, you have a sexually immoral brother in the church, and I am judging him, and I'm not even there, and I'm judging you too. And this is what he says, I'm going to come to you with iron, or you can do what you should do and cast him out. That's the words. You see, in the Old Testament, the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, had these things that the Lord said, I can't dwell with this, and you can't have this leaven in you. If you don't do something about it, it will destroy you. And Paul brings it in as the apostle to the church, and he says, you have to cast this leaven out because it cannot dwell with God. Now, I'm going to just a side note here and just not leave it there, okay? Because what Paul is doing is says, cast that person out. He's a part of the church. You toss him out on the street. But what's going to happen is his shame and his division from righteousness, his missing the church, is going to cause him to what? Repent. And in 2 Corinthians he does. But it can't dwell if there's an issue. And so David is telling you and me, there's these people, and we don't want to be those people. We want to walk this straight path. And if you're doing that, this is what happens. But. You got the four because we can't, the contrast. But us, we get to because we're going to dwell with him. But let all who take refuge to you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Well, here comes the flutes right here. I mean, you're not playing flutes, or even if you're crying, the flutes, I don't know, is it, I've heard the flutes. I was playing in a band in a high school, and I remember they're kind of high, and the sopranos would sing with that high note, and I don't know, maybe if they were low, you could hear them, but I don't know, the drums or the trumpets are in the way or something. But the flute is a high, wonderful sound. And I think they join in right here. At least they join in. Maybe they're playing before. Why? Because right here, David's dancing again. Well, he's at least singing. He says, let all who take refuge to you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. This, you do not want to be anywhere else except under the cover of the favor of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the head of the church, he has your names on a list. He knows where you live. He knows your family and your heart, and he is guiding you in the way with the church. And he has the cover, his covering, over the church and over everyone who is in the church and in him. Did you see that, the contrast here? Cast them out. They cannot dwell with you. And when they're cast out, there's no protection. But those who are in the house of the Lord, those who are in Christ and in God, have favor. And his shield covers us as we take refuge in him. And you think about, you're in the refuge there and your hearts are singing. They're light. There's no anxiety. When you're reminded that you're in the protection of God and there's nothing that can harm you, save it goes through the books of God. When he wants to test us and work on us, he will do some things we'd rather not do, but we are in the refuge and in the shield of God. We are in him. This being under the shield is kind of a motherly term, isn't it? Kind of, well, it's at least parental. You know, under the wings of God, like, and you've heard it before, like the chicks come under the wings for protection. So what do we have here? We have the king. We're in his protection. We're under the protection of God Almighty, the Creator, who heals you and sustains you and gives you whatever you need. And then you have this motherly or fatherly, and let's just call it parental protection of the Father, Father, King, and God. The triune God who's watching over you and looking out for you. Dwelling with God. So let's go back to verse 1. Because of the protection and where you're at and you're dwelling in him, this is why, this is what we can do and are able to do in the Lord. We start our mornings by preparing our way before him and asking for his protection and bringing those things before him. Lord, I have this meeting today. I have this issue today. I have the IRS on my back. Or whatever it is. We have a wedding coming up. We have a baby shower coming up. We have all of these things. I'm giving them to you before they come, Lord. I am coming to you because I'm in your protection. Now, we'll finish with this. Verse 3, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare this sacrifice for you. What's the last couple words? And then I watch. Just happened that before the snow hit, when I went out to the board here and I said, well, I'm just going to put something up for the winter because the back surgery is coming up and I'm not going out there in the snow and all this other stuff. And so I put out there, I just said, ask Jesus and then watch. Have you ever asked Jesus and then watch? Listen, if we don't prepare this sacrifice, like, Lord, this is what I have, and then you just go away and forget it? No. He's saying, watch. Like, expectantly. Like, Lord, what? Okay, what are you going to do? And usually it's not something that you think he's going to do, you know. You would like him to do it, but he's saying to watch. Kind of like Jesus in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Because there's so many things in the Bible he says, I'm going to do and prophecy, and I'm just watch for it. You and me are supposed to watch for those things in our lives. Because he's got prophecy in your life. You should be expectant that God has, because he has covered you in his favor, Because you are in his under his shield in the house of the King and God, you should say, I'm going to watch, Lord. I'm going to watch. In that song by Chuck Gerard, he says, I will look up. No. The word is, I'm going to watch what you're going to do. And see, I can bet that most of our hearts are saying, well, I'm going to give him a prayer and I hope that he just does something. And then you drop it. No, folks. Be expectant in that prayer. That's faith. Say, Lord, pray this. I am going to watch what you're going to do. I hope I'm not too surprised by how you're going to do it. But I'm going to watch because I came to you in faith as my King and my God and my Father. Lord, we love you. We worship you and we thank you that we can come to you expectantly, praying with our needs and for our needs and for others' needs. I'm going to bring my parents. I'm going to bring my wife, my husband, all these things. I'm going to bring them before you, and I'm going to be expectant in watching what you're going to do. And then I'm going to do that again tomorrow morning because we worship you and you've given us this right as family members and saved people. We love you and we praise you. Go with everyone here, we pray in your holy name. Amen.